We continue looking at our series, and we're studying this, David and committed living. Today, standing in the Lord's strength. Chapter 28 is actually about King Saul. But if we're going to study David's life, and when you study anyone's life, looking at the significant people of that person's life also say a lot. And we can learn a lot. It's not by accident that the Lord gave us 1 Samuel 28 so that we can understand a little bit more about life and what's going on, because there's something significant about, and I'm going to challenge you to look at the contrast between David and King Saul. The story is interesting because they're both kings. David is yet to be crowned king, but he will be. I've often thought about how different it could have been for King Saul and David. King Saul could have been an amazing mentor. I mean, he could have been king emeritus, if you will, if things had ended differently. And who knows what kind of honor that he would have received as David would have become king and Saul would have continued to support him, and in that transition, Saul could have finished well instead of failing. There's a lot of contrast here. And the difference is important to us to learn. Saul, in chapter 28, is about to face again a massive army and attack. I mean, we study about the life of David. We probably could retitle it in the Battles of David, because there's a lot of battles that go on, and we're going from battle to battle. And Saul was no different. But there's something about King Saul and what he does at this point that can speak directly to us. He's a classic example of someone, just like us as believers in Jesus, who stops seeking God's guidance, who no longer continues to look to God for direction, and then suffers the consequences of his actions. And he suffers those consequences because he is without the resources of God. We live in a world today, it's a crazy world. But more so than ever before, our society struggles with a relationship between decisions and consequences. We live in a world today that believes that our decisions, our lifestyles, our behaviors somehow don't have to suffer consequences, or at least not the ones that we think they should. I've had people literally argue with me about arguing with God of how unfair the consequences seem to be. And there are some people who believe in the church today that, yes, not only will God forgive, but he'll relieve us of the consequences of our actions or our inactions. The truth is, the fact is, God does forgive graciously. If it wasn't for the forgiveness of God, I would not be standing here. And he provides amazing grace. I know, I've received the grace of God. And that forgiveness, that grace restores over and over again my relationship with Jesus. But it does not mean that we will not live or have to live with the consequences of our actions or our inactions. Sometimes the inaction is just an even more powerful than our actions. I've seen something of late. You've probably heard the term being passive aggressive. I see people being spiritually passive aggressive. And that's such a dangerous place to go and to be. What we're going to learn today is the importance of staying connected to the Lord. and letting the Holy Spirit find unbelievable release in our lives. And in that way, when you finally need help the most, help will be there. Because you continue to stay close to the Lord. Because that's exactly what Samuel fails to do. Look with me in verse 3. Now, I'm not going to be bringing up all the verses on the overhead, so again, you'll want to look at your Bibles, and I'll be reading, though, from the New King James. And it tells us Samuel had died. All Israel lamented. They buried him. And there's something interesting here that almost seems out of place, but you'll see in a moment the importance of verse 3 there. It says, Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Period. Interesting sentence in the middle of all this. It'll make sense in a moment. And then the Philistines gathered together, came and encamped at Shittim. And here we have the battle getting ready. And says, so Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at El Gilboa. Saul saw the army of the Philistines and was ready to go to battle. Again. Remember, Saul has gone to battle and won over and over and over again. This is not his first battle. Why is it then the word says he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly? You want a biblical description of a panic attack? That's it. I mean, his heart trembled. I'm convinced his heart was about ready to leap right out of his chest. He looked at the Philistines, and this time, rather than looking at them and realizing how God can bring victory, he looked at them and became unbelievably frightened and had an unbelievable panic attack. His heart trembled greatly. See, this is what happens when you have less of God. There's something that I want you to remember. Less of the Lord, then more fear. Less Lord, more fear. There's a way to overcome the fear of whatever we might be facing. Because I've discovered something that in my life, when I'm not close to God, that's when I'm afraid. That's when I get overwhelmed. That's when you and I are more vulnerable and susceptible to the fear that can so grip us. And time and time again, as you and I live life, we will discover that it will get us for the sole reason we're not close to Jesus. Because when you're close to the Lord, the Word even promises He'll cast out the fear. But fear will come and grip you when you're not close to Him. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. He took a look at those Philistine forces, and he was overwhelmed because he had been living on his own strength and his own wisdom and his own resources. Now, he does something what looks really good in the beginning, verse 6. I mean, he's afraid, so Saul inquired of the Lord. Perfect. That's exactly what you want to do. Now, we get some commentary because it says the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, by Urim, or by the prophets. So what we know is that he was looking to get some help. He consulted, you know, he was looking to a prophet, which is, this is normal stuff at this time. Remember, they didn't have what we have today. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the release of the Holy Spirit like we have today. The Holy Spirit was there, but not as it is today. And so what they did, which was indeed right, is that they would go and they would try to seek the Lord and say, Lord, give me a dream, and through that dream I'll get some guidance. Or going to the priest would have a breastplate, which was designed for seeking the will of God. And we don't have time to go into that. There's an example of that on the slide. But basically, it was a means by which they would determine the will of God through use of the stones on that breastplate. Or they would seek a prophet. Why didn't God answer Saul? I'm going to tell you why. Sin. Because not only when you have less of the Lord will you have more fear in your life, But when you have more sin, then there's more hindrance to hearing the voice of God. The fact is that the Word tells us that when there's sin in your life, it will be like a ceiling blocking your prayer to the Lord as well as your hearing of the Lord. I have to ask myself, what would have happened at this juncture when King Saul was struggling, if he had been more patient, more persistent, and repentant? I think things would have been a whole lot different. But instead, Saul became desperate, and I've learned that desperate people will take desperate measures. And what we see is an example of a desperate man doing something very desperate. Verse 7, King Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who's a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." His servant said to him, "There is a woman who is a medium in Endor." Now, look at verse 7 in contrast to verse 3. What a powerful contrast, because we know that the Word has just stated Saul, and understand, Saul under the direction of God, because we know the Lord spoke through Moses, which was passed on in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, in Jeremiah, it's in the New Testament, in Galatians, throughout, that we are not to have anything to do with mediums or psychics or the paranormal, all that kind of stuff. And the very thing that King Saul made a law of, that said, "I forbid you under the penalty of death to involve yourself with mediums," in verse 7, he's about to do the very same thing. Why does Saul think he's above the law of God? But then there's a great question for you and I. Why do we think we're above God's law, God's word? Because we do the same thing. I'm King Saul. I made the law. I can do whatever I want. And we do the same thing. Hi, I'm Steve. I can do whatever I want. Like somehow I'm special. I don't have to do what God's word says. I'm unique. I'm different. And I'd agree. Boy, you are really different. And yes, you are special. How is it that we would think we can escape? And here again, I see Saul clearly rationalizing and justifying his sin. He is literally doing the very thing that was forbidden by the Lord, that he himself had made law that was to be forbidden. You see, when we're struggling to hear from God, King Saul, you're not hearing from the Lord, then you must do this. Inquire of your heart. Maybe it has nothing to do with God and everything to do with you. Maybe the reason why you're not hearing from God is because there's something wrong with your heart. Maybe there's something in you that's the problem and not everyone else around you. And how easy it is for us to blame others, blame circumstance, blame situations, when what we need to do is look on the inside. I have to tell you, if Saul had looked on the inside and examined his heart and done, let me call it this, a heart check, perhaps things would have been different. Perhaps things would have changed. Instead, he goes to the witch of Endor. Doesn't that sound like the Lord of the Rings? It's not. It's Star Wars. I looked it up. It is so cool. And you realize, I mean, you could do a research on, and I won't go a lot of this, but there's way too much information about Endor. It's like, I went online, I thought, I wanted to make sure I had the right connection to Star Wars, because I was thinking Lord of the Rings, but in fact, it's Star Wars. And they have a website solely designed to the planet of Endor. And I looked at that at first, I thought, well, is that a really planet? I said, no, this is fantasy. Okay, wake up. It was crazy. I mean, there's way too much information out there. All right, so the Hebrew is interesting because the Hebrew for indoor, and what that means literally is that this medium, translated in the Hebrew, is the wife of a ghost. She married a ghost. Oh. There's a whole nother story in that. Do you and I see in this, church? We all have spiritual potential. You want to connect with evil spirits, you can. It is wide open. There's a spirit world out there that will connect with you just like that. Just like you can connect with the Holy Spirit. Now you have a choice. Evil spirit, Holy Spirit. Can I suggest Holy Spirit? And there's something just amazing in what you see this. We see again the unbelievable potential we all have. Now let me tell you something. At the heart of all spiritism, and a spiritist like this, is the lack of trust in God. Don't let it ever fool you. The root of it is distrusting the Lord. It's a lack of faith. It's because you don't get the answers you want, so you go someplace else to seek the answers. You didn't get what you want, you go someplace else. And it is the direct result of fear that moves us, and it is always, always, always sin. It is always rebellion, and it is disobedient to the Lord God to consult and to connect with spiritism. That was interesting that the most read section of the newspapers across our country is the astrology page. And for those of you that looked at your forecast, you sinned. And you're in rebellion to God. And you need to repent. Oh, but it's just a silly game. You sinned. And you're in rebelliousness to God. It's wrong. You're entertaining something that the world would like you to see as innocuous. You're playing with dynamite. You're holding a firework in your hand, and it's going to blow up. Because that's what happens, and that's exactly what happened to Saul. I mean, what an amazing opportunity. He could have committed and surrendered himself to the Spirit of God. Instead, he goes to consult a medium spirit. He goes and goes after something that is totally unhealthy. Verse 8, so Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes, and he went and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. He said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name you. And the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul's done, and how he's cut off the mediums and the spirits in the land. So why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? This is really a dangerous thing you're asking me to do. And it's kind of like, you know, it's the rhetorical question. I need to know that this is really an okay thing, and you and I are going to have this in confidence. You know, I think I'll do this for you because I'm hoping to make some money. But let's make sure I understand something. I could die for doing this. And Saul swore to her by the Lord. How do you swear by the Lord when you're about to do something that God said don't do? Hey, do you see the contrast in this? He's trying to convince her, obviously, that it's going to be okay. And as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And the woman said, well, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, well, bring up Samuel for me. I wish you could read the Hebrew. It's so amazing right now. Anyway, the woman saw Samuel and cried out cried out with a loud voice. That doesn't say it. She's literally screaming in terror right now. And I think it's interesting, and you should note this, this woman's used to seeing spirits. This wasn't normal for her to scream out in terror. This was a unique moment for her because what she has seen is something she's never seen before, and she really is frightened. The woman spoke to Saul saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, look, don't be afraid. Let's get to it. What do you see? What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, well, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. Literally, it says she saw a celestial being rising up through the ground. So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "Well, an old man is coming up, and he's covered with a mantle." What's happening right now is she's describing Samuel, and the mantle would have been the robe that Saul had torn just before he died. The words are very clear. There's a great, that's why he, and I want you to see, it says here that Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He never actually saw him. Everything he got was through the woman. But because of what she said, he perceived it was Samuel. And look what he says. He stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now, I know the question is in your mind like it was on mine. Was this really Samuel, or was this a demonic impersonation? It was one or the other. I don't know that we totally know, and I know that we're not sure. I'm not sure it matters in the case of what we're looking at. The Word of God interprets itself. And when I look really closely at what this is, it really, because it's so unusual, it looks like it might have been Samuel. But I want you to know, I'm also well aware, it could have been an impersonation by demonic spirits. Let me tell you something, demonic spirits are not dumb. And it would have been no big deal to say what needed to be said to convince Saul, you know what? Yeah, I'm Samuel, and I want to see you die. That's, you know, the whole mission of the enemy is still the same, kill, steal, or destroy. And everything about, you know, this is about what's happening. I mean, this kind of stuff seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? It happens today. This is going on all over the place. One of the fastest, largest growing TV channels is the paranoia or the psychic channel. I did some research because it's been a while. I actually, years ago, when I was doing some radio stuff, and on the radio, I did some research on Mark Edwards, who was at that time like one of the biggest psychics around. I don't know if you've heard of Mark. He's still around. He's just written another book, and he had a big TV show about 1998 to about 03, 04. But I was kind of curious, so, you know, what about all this stuff around here? I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but what's current? I pulled up, and just looking at the Bremerton, Silverdale, Port Orchard, and Polesbo area, I pulled up over 500 sites and locations of psychic phone numbers and online stuff. I just took the top 10. These were all the ones that got 4 stars or more. They're all over the place. I went to a couple of them, wanted to see what was going on. And I tell you, it's nuts. I went to several right on top, Christian Psychic. I went to one site, crosses all across it, Christian Psychic, and then right below it, yes, Christians can be psychics. And then a whole explanation as to why this was okay. This is out of the pit of hell, church. And this is really bad. It's interesting, in the latest book that Mark Edward wrote called Psychic Blues, Confessions of a Conflicted Medium, he talks about what was he giving people. And here's a quote from him in his book. Here's what he feels he gives people: junkyard superstition. To the gullible, to the lonely, to the hopeful, and to the dim. He says in his book, quote, "I have no paranormal powers, and neither does anybody else." What he talks about is, and let me frame it this way, he presents himself as a really nice guy, kind-hearted fake, that somehow in his description because he's helped so many people that somehow that justifies him deceiving thousands of people. He says, quote, "I've offered the meaning that many folks feel that they need but cannot find elsewhere." Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things God says we can do and a lot of things God says we cannot do. Entertaining psychics is something you cannot do as a believer in Jesus. And let me tell you something. It ain't going to happen. It can't happen. The dead are not going to come back and talk to you. Once you're dead, let me make this clear, you're dead. You're not coming back. You're not going to hear from your relatives. If you see something, it's right out of the pit of hell. Maybe out of your own mind. Maybe out of your own grief. But people do not rise up from the dead. They do not do that. And we live in a world that is promoting vampires and werewolves and all kinds of paranormal stuff, and as if we're going to believe it. And I've had Christians actually believe this stuff. It is not going to happen. It is out of hell. You want proof text of that? Study Luke 16. And here's a word picture of death. And there's this rich guy in hell looking at Lazarus in heaven. And he's talking, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here, you know, from heaven to hell to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." Abraham said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. And so now he is being comforted and you are in anguish." And look what it says. "And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one, absolutely, positively, no one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." It was interesting when I read that, I was remembering Mark Edwards' title of his TV show, Crossing Over. Can't do it. "Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' Samuel answered, 'I'm deeply distressed. The Philistines make war against me. God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I called you that you may reveal to me what I should do.'" He's asking the wrong guy. "Samuel said, 'Why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you, has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalekite. Therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. More, the Lord will deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines.'" I don't know about you, if I heard that, I would repent. Verse 20, "Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground. He was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. There was no strength in him, for he had not eaten, no food all day or all night." He did not repent. He just got more afraid, and he fell down. He could have repented. I am convinced at this very moment, all that was said here, when he said, "The Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy," that was said, and when you look at it, the intentionality of that was there was hope still that those words could be said, and maybe somehow, possibly, King Saul would regret, feel so sorry, so overwhelmed, boom, he would fall down and repent. Say, "Oh God, if you're going to take me, at least bring me home to you." I mean, there was a moment of hope here. But Saul does not repent. He does not ask God. He just feels really bad. That's why the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, leading to life, leading to change, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. That's exactly or Saul is. He's really sorry, and it's going to lead to his death. How tragic it is. You're not getting the answers you want. You talk to God. You seek the Lord. You check your heart. That's what David did. David did bad things too. The difference was when God confronted David, he repented and realized that there was something wrong in him and didn't blame everyone else around him. He came to that place like in Psalm 139. We see David and the heart that he had because he did a lot of bad things. We know that. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my fears, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Search me. Know my heart. Me. God, this has got to be me. Change me. Change my heart. No, it's the church's fault. It's Pastor Steve's fault. It's the community's fault. It's the world's fault. It's everyone else's fault. Like David, we realize the only way is to go inside here. And then find strength. Because unlike King Saul, he found his strength in his intelligence and his ability and his power, his personality. What he needed to find strength in was in the power of God. You stand strong in God's strength. The Word tells us that when you face an enemy, and you will, in Ephesians 6, it gives us this amazing statement. Realizing all the battles we're going to face, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Not your own, His might. And then what do? Well, you put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For listen, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly realms. Saul is facing that very thing right now. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all this, stand. Stand in the Lord, and you will overcome. You put your life into the hands of God, and you will see deliverance. You put your life into the hands of God and let Him use you. Let Him mold you. Let Him change you. And when you do that, it's radical. It's real. And if you don't do that, well, think of King Saul. Look what happened to him. Let's pray. Lord God, we need you. I invite you to open your heart up to God. And right now, say the words to the Lord Jesus, "Search me. Search me, God." Every one of us in this room can say those words. Yeah, God's going to find something. I've said those words and God finds something every time. It's okay. It's good. Because then you just, it changes. God takes you and changes you. This is good. This is great. Don't be afraid of letting God search you. The only reason you're afraid is because you don't want to change. The only reason you're afraid is because you've been too far from God. Some of you need to hear the voice of God. Come home. Come back to me. Stop running. Stop hiding. Come home. As we bring this chorus, let the Spirit of God minister to you. You may just want to listen. You may want to sing with us. But let's let God continue to minister. Okay? We've asked the question, God, search me. Search my heart. Let's put our hands in the life of God. Put it in the hands of Jesus, the potter's hands. Guide me, Lord. Call me. Lead me. Walk beside me. Again, I give you my life. That would be the ministry of God right now, the Holy Spirit in this place. Lord God, take us. Lord, mold us to that new life, radical life, real life. Lord, I pray that we would be used and filled to overflowing. Strengthen us, Lord God, to stand in the midst of whatever we might face. Lord, cast out that fear. Let us not live a fearful life. Lord, I pray for that woman here whose life is so captured by fear. It's hard to step out. Even coming here was work. I pray for God's deliverance. And by the presence and the power of God, that anxiety would be healed and cast out by the love of God. Thank you that you search us and know us, and life changes. I ask you to bow your heads. As I was praying, if I was praying for you, I want you to raise your hand and affirm you're receiving what God would do right now. Just raise your hand right where you are. See how much God loves us? That He would speak directly to a couple of us right now in the midst of all this. That's how much God loves you. That He knows what's going on with you. I want to encourage you. God loves you. And God cares about you enough to deliver you from fear and anxiety. And Lord, I thank you that you are working in us, molding us, filling us, using us, and changing us. As we leave this place, God, we walk with you. Our life is in your hands, and Lord, we would be a different people. Thank you for your word and for the ministry here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.